gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe. Here in this great hall of justice are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. Cheers, everybody.
Hey,
hey.
Cheers.
Blink.
So we're going to apologize ahead of time for the audio, but obviously we are not together. But this is the Dad Timeout Show at dadtimeoutshow@gmail.com. Yeah, that's our email address. But on Twitter, we're at Dad Timeout Show, Instagram, Dad Timeout Show, all that good stuff. More importantly, most importantly, I really want to talk to you guys because we hadn't spoken in a while. And it's we're all going through some very interesting times. But I thought it would be kind of fun to give your handle and where you're recording from tonight instead of our usual, hi, I'm Mark. I have 4 kids and 9 cats. So, Mark, why don't you start? We'll go down the pyramid to Chris and Ben.
Okay. This is Mark. I'm calling in from lovely Castro Valley, California.
Well, what you're sitting in a very, very nice chair because we're actually all on video tonight. What room of the house are you in? I see a hamper in the background. I see some toys.
I am in my family room.
Oh, wow. Okay. Chris?
Hey, this is Chris. I'm calling from beautiful Harbor Bay Island, Alameda, California. I'm currently in my kids', I don't know, like homework room, made to look as though it were a professional office for the daily Zoom calls with work.
Yeah, and what's the poster on the wall behind you there, Chris?
That's the Chicago World Fair.
That is just, that's beautiful.
Very professional.
Very professional. Very professional. Benjamin Winter, Wolf Hunt, where are you?
Benjamin Winter, we're calling from sunny Alameda, California. I am tuning in from my roof tonight. It's the only place I can get away from my children. So a crawl space straight up to the rooftop.
Yeah, because I'll be Captain Obvious here. As Captain Obvious, we are all sheltered in place, as is the rest of the country and most of the world. So we had a little, I'm not going to call it a technical difficulty because there definitely was a little alcohol involved the last time we tried to do this. So on my end, I probably hit the wrong button somewhere, as my wife will point out. But now we are back on track, and it's very good to see your faces. We've been tweeting and texting back and forth and all that stuff, so hope you're all doing well. Let's go through a regular routine tonight. We'll do our regular show. If you're in agreement with me, guys, I think we've all kind of been coronavirused out at this point. And this can be a good space where we can chat about our stuff, but also shine a little light and a little positivity to all the good stuff that's going on there as well, plus the good stuff going on in our lives, even though we're all kind of taking a bath or a beating, no pun intended. On the different fronts too. So first off, I want to mention and just say hi. We got some really cool tweets in our feed this week from, check this out. I don't know if you guys know, guess who tweeted me today? At Collie Power. Collie Power. An alternate. Yes. Incredible chicken tenders. I tweeted out that I love them. And then at Gail F. Becker, who's the CEO of the company, by the way, tweeted us back and said that was the nicest tweet she's seen in her feed all day. So we're getting in with the big wigs now. Also at Donna's 92, at Eric the Peel, P-I-E-L, at Miss J. Lee 22, and at Dude Dad Vlog. Guys, if you don't follow Taylor, his name's Taylor Kalmus. He does the Dude Dad thing. He and his wife do spoofs on each other. He's an incredibly creative dude, but his site's called Dude Dad, and they've got a viral video out right now where he's mimicking her during the quarantine, and she's mimicking him, and it goes back and forth. They also were the guys that were in the Target parking lot about a month ago and did the whole music
awesome.
Video from the Taylor's a great guy.
Awesome.
Hopefully I'll get him on here soon, but his stuff makes my day. And I've been searching for positive, as a lot of you guys probably have too in your downtime, albeit 30 seconds of our day. Instagram, I want to say hi to the Dad Experience, dadtribe.in, Dads of Steel with an E, Message with a Bottle, as Kate would have it, and Jennifer Chaney, Jennifer.Chaney, all we've been interacting with on Instagram. They're all incredible people. Jennifer Chaney's actually a great photographer, and she's putting some of her photography classes online for people to come in and check out during the quarantine. So if you're into photography and you want to maybe pick up or do a side hobby, Jen's your, she was our family, Ben, you'll love this, she was our family photographer at one point.
Yeah, if you go out to the
But
woods.
She's the one that was like you. She would just say, just let me just be a fly on the wall, and you do what you want to do, and I'll capture those moments. Then big news is we have our first interview booked up for Dad Time Out Show Light, a gentleman named Brock Lusch. So Brock's a really cool guy. I met him a couple years ago. He's from Cincinnati. He runs the Cincinnati Dads Group, and he's also one of the bigwigs at the National At-Home Dad Network. And he has his own website called At Nomad Dad. Really cool site, always positive faith-based stuff. But Brock's a cool dude, and he's agreed to be one of our first guests on that. So cheers to all that. Cheers to you guys.
Awesome.
Today's show, we're going to be doing the top 10 Googled recipes during shelter in place. We're going to be doing, I don't even want to do dad jokes. Let's just go straight tweets of the week, because there's a lot of great stuff out there.
What?
That's our number one segment. There's a quiz.
I know.
I love the quiz.
I pondered it, and then I thought tweets were heavier and funnier tonight. Three, two, one, go. We'll talk a little bit about homeschooling, self-improvement, healthcare workers. By the way, has anybody seen Adam Sandler's song, his ode to healthcare workers? He did it on Jimmy Fallon. If you want an uplifter, watch that one, too, because it's pretty awesome. Smart articles by smart people, the parent quiz, and I brought it back, the shelter in place edition. I'm going to be giving away a subscription to Southern Living tonight. So
yeah.
And then we're going to give away a lot of thank yous at the end too. So guys, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking time out of your day. Cheers. Here we go. Dad Time Out show begins.
Hey dads, it's time for the tweet of the week. Tweet. Pop Gobble Chicken.
All right, guys. Now we are going to get into tweets of the week. Yes, I bypassed dad jokes. I did not know you would be upset. I apologize.
I'm a little upset. I mean, I know Ben's extremely happy, but I feel like there's. I'm a creature of habit. I think you know. But hey. I'm freewheeling here.
Well, you know, Chris, I was in a bar the other night, and there was a horse in there, and the bartender looked at him and said, "Hey, man, why the long face?"
I mean, did you not know that the punchline before when he started?
We all need a little levity.
Why the long face? Said to the horse. The number 10 Googled recipe. Drum roll, please. Number 10 Google recipe. I thought this would be higher. This is according to the Today Show. Chocolate chip cookie recipes comes in at number 10. Most Google recipes during shelter in place. Number 9, fried rice recipes.
Leftovers maybe, you know.
Leftovers and
totally.
Rice is, you know,
day old rice, you know.
Totally. I went to the gigantic warehouse-like grocery store this week, and I'm not going to lie, I bought 2 20-pound bags of rice.
That is nice. Will you eat that, even if it wasn't a shelter in place, did you eat that in a year?
In college, yes. Now, I don't know. We're going to see how it plays out. So, yes, there's gigantic bags of rice. And then number 8 was ground beef recipes. All right, so that's 10, 9, and 8, and we'll be teasing the – oh, number 7 is going to just surprise everybody, so that's coming up. All right, so tweets of the week. There's a lot of great tweets out there if you guys have been following Twitter. Our site, I tend to follow mainly comedians, funny parents, positive parents. I don't really follow any of the trending stuff. I don't get my news from Twitter, all that stuff. I like to stay in a happy spot when I'm on the Twitter. First one is from one of my favorites. I think we can all relate to these tweets, so that's, and we can talk a little bit topically about them too. But from @divergentmama, me to my kids, you have to eat right and get a good sleep if you want to stay healthy. Also me to my kids, shouting at 5 a.m., who ate my breakfast Pringles?
Breakfast Pringles?
Are you... First of all, have you seen the video meme that's going where the mother is on the front lawn and she's like, hey, you, why are you running? It's 7 a.m. And then she slugs a big thing of wine. It's, are you guys snacking more than usual? Are you eating more than usual? I'm already rotund, so this is not helping me at all.
Rotund. It's not helping. We're eating at 5:30 together. God help us. It's awful to eat together. I didn't know how tough it is. Like, we never tried before, but this will be the end of it. But then that gets me hungry around. I take a little walk with my buddy at like, you know, at night, a little distance walk. Another 6.5-foot white male. We walk around all creepy in Alameda and drink. And then I get home and I'm really hungry. Watch a movie, go to bed at midnight. This is, yeah. My habits are not, you know.
My kids are like both daughters are baking. That's their thing. Like when there's nothing to do, they're like, oh, let's bake cupcakes and let's bake muffins. So like they made rainbow unicorn muffins and, you know, like they're always bringing like different like treats like three times a day. There's like a Rice Krispie treat today. So I'm trying to like get out and like burn it off, but you know. I'm lazy.
Well, as you say that, my 11's in the kitchen with my 5 creating tonight's desserts, and we have no idea what they're making. And now that the 11's allowed to use the oven with supervision, like, it's just concoction palooza. And then, it is kind of fun. But I can't, I'm bad because we're buying, you know, obviously a little more in bulk now. So I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll have a piece of Swiss cheese just because I'm walking by or, you know, grabbing.
How many pounds did you buy?
Oh, stop it. I 10. 10?
10 pounds.
I kid you not. Down. And this was just, this is by chance, but we got a new fridge last week. Just by chance. So there's a new fridge. There's a new life in my house.
Mark,
you were shaking your head. No, you're not eating anything?
No, I'm still keeping on my normal situation.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I can't. I'm getting better. Perfect. I'm treating it like on Monday I will get back into it. All right, this is from a great handle, by the way. Kiss my fat ash at Tobe @Tobe_is_fab. It's all fun and games creating children that act just like you until you're stuck in the house with them 24/7. I get it, man. I'm homeschooling so Jen and I have divided our kids sort of, and I'm doing the fourth grader, and I'm literally sitting across the table from me, and I'm having flashbacks of what I was like in fourth grade, and it's not good. Awful. It's not good. But how has it been going for everybody in a general one or two sentence way? Because we're all kind of obviously with our kids all the time now. Good, bad, ugly, medium.
I'm no different. I've been, you know, unfortunately, like I'm working from home. So like I basically go into the kids' room, close the door. They know that I'm like, got all my work calls all day, so they've been pretty much staying out of my way, so it's almost business as usual, except I just go downstairs to see them from time to time, and they're pretty quiet anyway, so.
Well, and Ben, yours are young, so how's that going?
We're 10, 7, and 3, and it's going absolutely horrible. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, we're not teachers, so but every week's getting a little better. My wife and I are workers. We have 4 businesses. So we are in this go mode, but I swear we're just trying to learn how to slow down and deal with the fact that we can't be going right now and trying to let this be what it is. I mean, who's with me? Who doesn't understand?
Well, okay.
I'll
jump in. Homeschooling 3 kids is no joke. And even though the 14-year-old and 10-year-old are kind of self-sufficient, the 5-year-old is beside himself because he needs more of an outlet. And so I want my kids to be safe. I don't know that it was called too soon, but I also worry that it's tough to know what to think at this point. You know, I mean, I'm hearing, I have a lot of friends that work in the medical community, and it's pretty scary out there if you've been paying attention to the news. So I'm not ready to be too mad about it, because I don't want anything to happen to my family, but anyway.
All right. I'm going to put a positive spin on this. Because this one comes in from @RodLacroix. His tweet is, "Great news, everybody. I got 100 on my son's geometry test." It is funny. Like, I'm teaching, my respect for teachers is, I've always respected them greatly. And I majored in child development and all this, but I sitting with them every day, especially my fourth grader's got ants in his pants, and it's just like, whoo, my goodness. But it is funny, because then your pride gets in the way of how your child's doing, and you're like, okay, let's go through that mixed fraction yet again. Here's some practice problems. Here's some more practice. Like, and I'm explaining it in pie charts, and I'm pulling out YouTube videos. So,
are you really?
Yeah, a little bit. We're just, we're kind of having fun, but I'm also taking advantage of supplementary stuff and, the stuff that's available and out there, other than, our homeschooling schedules, which are, Mark's and I, our children go to the same schools, go, it's pretty rigid stuff. But, so anyway, that was from Rod LaCroix. We'll move on to Simon C. Holland, because this one I think is pretty relatable, and we love Simon. So we don't go to restaurants, kids aren't signed up for anything, and we're just staying home during spring break. Sounds just like my childhood.
Totally.
Isn't it the truth? Like, if you really think about that, we didn't do anything on spring breaks when I was a kid. Like, you just had off, but you didn't do much. Like, and I didn't have the crazy schedules that my wife and I were looking at each other, because we get the calendar reminders, that keep popping up because we hadn't taken everything out yet. And it's like, this one's got little league practice. This one's got play practice. This one's got this. And on the backside of all this, I'm like, oh, I'm glad we're just sitting here watching Frozen 2. Like, it's actually nice.
Again.
I don't mind as much. But Ben, please.
Again.
Uh-oh.
What, me? I'm up? What are we talking about?
I agree with what you're saying, MK, about the calendar invites. We didn't pull ours off either. And I don't know. I'm a little melancholy when I see them. I'm kind of like, oh, I kind of wouldn't mind being there instead of here. But at the same time, you got to take advantage of what you got. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just made us really reflect on that one. Made me reflect in a comical way that my childhood was very simple, and it was driven by a few things. And we, as 2020 parents, our kids tend to be massively overscheduled, and and vacations are so thought through, and the destinations are so thought through for the most part, not the minority, the majority, but yeah. So that was a pretty fun one. All right, this one for our final one on this is from Just a Mom 819, otherwise known as Mama Llama.
Nice.
I'm not happy with the few pounds I've gained during this quarantine. I seriously have to do something. I tried to go for a jog, but I kept spilling my beer on my pants. I added that on your pants part.
Totally.
Are you guys taking your nightly walks? How are you exercising? Are you? Ben, you just said that you went out with your buddy and you do your late night distance, but.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, one thing that I have discovered is, like, how beautiful the city we live in is, especially Ben and I. I mean, like, I started taking bike rides just because I've been locked in this room. So I'm walking, like, I look at my Fitbit, and it says, like, 27 steps for the day. Like, I need to, like, do something. So I've been trying to force myself to ride my bike, and I bought this bike like, you know, 5 years ago when my daughters first wanted to get bikes, and I've ridden it maybe once or twice ever. But the last few weeks now, I've been like going out for the evening ride during sunset and just seeing the scenery. It's like, it's gorgeous. And with no cars out on the street, it's yeah. like a, you know, like a biker's paradise. So like, I feel like I might even maybe even keep doing it after, you know?
Yeah, nice enough.
Hey. Huh.
No, it's funny, well, huh? it's funny. I agree with you 1,000%. We live in what they call the flats here in our town, so it's very keyword flat. So, but we walk by so many houses. Like my wife and I walk, this is not bragging. We just look down and we're like, oh my god, we walked 6.5 miles this morning. But you notice front yards. You notice redwood trees you hadn't seen before. You notice,
yeah.
driveway patterns. You're like, oh, that's a cool driveway. Well, I never noticed that walk up before. That's cool. Like, and not only that bonus, but you're also getting to see people on their stoops, on their steps. I mean, I know New York's a lot different, and I apologize because I'm very aware of what's happening in different parts of the country, whereas we have a little more space and breath out here. But yeah, man, I don't mind it. I'll tell you a funny side note. So my wife and I were walking because we were at the end of the week, and we have there's a wine store that happens to be in our journey. So I usually stop in there and I get a roadie, and then I got all Corona weird last night because I didn't have any wipes or anything. And, you know, it's very proper. It's 6 foot distancing, 2 people in the store at a time. And we know the owners very well. So we know it's pretty, you know, heads up. But I picked it up with my sweatshirt, and she's like, what, you're not going to drink it? So I took it with my sweatshirt cupped like this, and I literally sat in the middle of a street in our neighborhood, not sat, and poured it from a distance down into my mouth so my lips wouldn't touch the wine in a can. That's how you know I'm exuding class. It was wine in a can.
That's awesome.
But
that's awesome.
What a sight.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, look, like I said before when we talked a couple weeks ago, I'm like, look, I can really get down and sink lower right now, or I can choose to take the upside and take all this time and all this focus and, you know, and be optimistic about stuff. I am newsworthy. I do read, I do know what's going on, but I also am finding the silver linings, you know, and all this as far as like our internal family goes, you know, if nothing
we're like you were saying, we're going up neighborhoods we've never walked in around here. And it's really kind of cool to see parts of the town that we've not, I mean, you drive around and we don't walk around a lot. So family walks have been big. And then I bought some free weights and had them delivered a little while ago. And so it's kind of funny.
Wait, repeat that.
I bought free weights and
had them delivered.
My kids are pumping iron. I have exercise bands, so I do like an exercise time with the kids every day. We're like lifting weights and doing exercise bands, going at walks at night. It's kind of
are you in your driveway fun. Like shirtless?
yeah, and usually I might not be wearing a lot of pants.
With your Oakley wraparounds?
Totally. My mullet's growing in nicely, too.
Venice Beach up there.
Totally.
That's what I just envisioned. What if Mark is all ripped at the end of this? Like,
can we see his five-year-old and he's got, like, pipes?
It's all juiced up. Got some delivered weight.
Totally.
Yeah, that poor UPS guy. That poor UPS guy.
Oh, they dump things at the end of my driveway. You kidding me? They hardly bring things.
Oh,
out.
Yeah.
Mike,
yeah,
you've been to my house, okay? You know how the driveway is.
Yeah, I do. All right. Well, that's our tweets of the week. Thanks to Mama Llama, Simon C. Holland, Rod LaCroix, Kiss My Fat Ash with an H, and Divergent Mama, because you are much funnier than we are. Cheers. Coming up next, we'll talk a little. Oh, I don't know if I should go there again, but homeschooling.
Time out for 3, 2, 1, go!
All right, guys. I know Mark is pressed to make dinner. I know Ben has all three alone, and Chris is in his private apartment within his domain, just relaxing and shutting off. I'm actually out in our barn, but it's all good. So we did talk about homeschooling, Ben. I know it's not a great subject with you, but what were your first, let's say, 96 hours like? When you realized, oh, wow, this is real. Here are the packets or online, you know, they're pointing online and trying to figure that out. Ours turned around quickly. We went from like, could happen, it's happening tomorrow is really kind of how ours played out. And, you know, full credit to this is our personal situation and mine personal. Full credit to our teachers for figuring a lot of this stuff out on the fly. And continuing to figure it out, but getting ahead of it, I got slam dunked, completely slam dunked. I couldn't find stuff. I couldn't find files. I didn't know my way around Google Classroom, Loom, Zoom, Doom, Boom. Like, I didn't know what was going on. But as it sunk in, we've got a schedule. We've got a routine. It was funny. I think I put on our Instagram, like, the generic schedule that was going around the internet. And I'm like, in all earnesty, I put it on my door and I'm like, Jen, this is what we're going to follow. This is how we're going to do this. At 8:30, we're going to, no.
Nope,
not happening. So, but the homeschooling part, we've kept pretty much a 9 to 3-ish kind of environment with a very firm lunch and a very, you know, we know when to give them breaks because it is a lot of stuff for them too. So not good at it.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler says that he had it in his video on Jimmy Fallon. He's had a line in there about, I don't think you want my kids teaching math or me teaching my kids math much longer.
Yeah.
Was his whole thing. So, Chris, your girls are older. What's going on in your world?
Yeah.
Self-sufficient?
I've had a pretty, they're pretty self-sufficient. I mean, I feel super lucky that my oldest, I've pretty much not had to do much. Like, she's already on it. I think the younger one is, like, to your point, I think that the teachers at her school did a really good job of keeping things, like, consistent. She was in a theater class, and like even they are still having rehearsals through Zoom, and even if they don't have a live performance, they're still carrying on and going through the memorizing the lines and everything. So I don't know. I mean, for me, I feel like technology, I'm really impressed that we were able to actually, you know, not miss too big of a beat. And I'm also just impressed by like everybody, like how like everyone's staying from home, and it's still like some folks are still able to kind of use the technology to keeping up with their classes and whatnot. So
yeah, well, too, and I think that the kids, even though it's virtual, they really enjoy seeing the other kids on the Zoom.
Yeah,
and then they have their side Zooms. And like, you know, because then four kids will break off and be like, hey, can you talk at 5 o'clock tonight? You know, that kind of a thing. And Mark and I have kids in younger grades. And I know my kindergartner lights up. Our teacher does a daily video, good morning to them every morning. And our school still does like virtual assemblies. So our leaders in our school, our students, will get on and they'll just do the form of the assembly. And then we put it out on the social medias, and the principal will send it out in her daily email and all that kind of stuff. So I know morale wise, because we don't know what effect it's having on our kids right now. I don't know.
No,
who knows how long
term
they're
depressed. They're depressed. They're weird. They're short. You know, it's mental health is a real consideration that can't be overlooked in every household. Like, yeah, we're not sick. Like, well, I don't know anybody who's gotten really sick from COVID, but I mean, we're all probably going to know someone that gets really sick or die. But like right now, it's a practical problem. But we just can't ignore mental health. Like, I got one of my kids, and it's a real concern. She's super depressed. She won't go outside. Mm-hmm. She's just sinking deeper and deeper, and we have to be really aware of her mental health because she's this ultra sensitive one. And we're like, you know, just like, you know, it's easy to just to like, we're all short, but I don't know. We gotta stay on top of the kids' mental health in this. And that's more important to me than, you know, making sure they keep up with, you know, the math. But yeah.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're encouraging our kids to get on Zoom calls. I mean, they have Zoom calls throughout the day as MK knows, because it's the same situation for his kids as it is for mine. But like you were saying, we're breaking them off and we're having them have extra calls or FaceTime or making sure they're talking to their grandparents, making sure they're talking to as many friends and people as they can to try and keep that social interaction together, because homeschooling, I mean, I tell people homeschooling three kids is no joke. It's a, like a full-time job with a full-time job on top of it, but
instantly.
But then making sure that they're having that connection. I mean, that would be my recommendation for anybody who's kids bummed out or whatever is, you know, try and find where their friends are, get them on the phone, get them on a Zoom call, get them on something where they can see their friends. Because, you know, like MK was saying, I mean, watching my 5-year-old light up when he sees his classmates and listening, it's killing. It's so funny to listen to them. They have 2 Zoom calls a day, and it's I'm loving it. It's so much fun to listen to how the teacher's doing it and how the kids are interacting. And then, you know, I'll get texts from parents saying, hey, you know, can we get on a Zoom call here? And I'm like, yeah. And it's just, I don't know. It's been, from a community perspective, it's been really kind of a blessing. I don't like the social distancing, but I'm enjoying how things are panning out as a result of it, just because I see a lot of connectivity that's happening that, I mean, my kids would never ask to Zoom or FaceTime with anybody after school's over. And I don't know, maybe that's just because they're with them all day, but I don't know. I'm liking what I'm seeing coming out of this at this point. So.
Well, yeah, I think another thing, Ben, that we're doing that's kind of working for us, just for us, you know, but we take our walks, and then the kids usually will ride their scooters. And now we live in, well, you kind of do too, one of those neighborhoods that's sort of flat. But we'll text some parents and we'll be like, hey, we're walking by your house. Would you guys want to come out to your front porch? And we'll sit on the sidewalk and we can just shoot it for a few minutes. Now, that slowly sounds like it's starting to grind to a halt too. So, but that's what we're doing now. So, you know, one of my son's best friends lives about 8 or 9 blocks away. So we make that one of our walk points. And then we'll just text and be like, hey, can he come out on the front porch? And they can just chat. You know, the parents will catch up. And then we just keep on our walk. But that's really helped the kids seeing each other. The hard part is, because I would think, and I'm not a psychologist, but they want to physically interact. They're used to running around and chasing each other and tag. So it's a little change up there. But it is working for us. Like, in all 3 of our kids have kids around our areas that they can visit.
Well, we can't even come close to getting out. Like at school, what they exude in a day, like between socially and physically, we're not getting 5% of that. Nobody is. Like, we can't, you know what I mean? So these kids, their adjustment is just paradigm shift in their lives. You know what I mean? Like we shouldn't think that we're coming close to their old lives. So just staying in tune with them, like, you know, my wife and I like, obviously, you know, like, we're watching our business burned to the ground right in front of our eyes and we can't do anything. That's stressful. But like, just trying to find peace right now and like just remember that these kids' worlds just turn upside down. And what they get at school in a day, think about how much interaction and physical outlet that is. Like, we're not even touching it. So their little minds and hearts are, you know, topsy turvy. I don't know. That's why I think we were kind of forcing them to go outside when they don't want to. Even if it's raining, let's go stomp in puddles, whatever. You're going outside because they, I don't know, they don't really know what's best for themselves. And like I said, one of mine was just thinking deeper and deeper. And I'm like, get it, we're going outside. I don't care if I drag you out naked, we're going outside.
All right, so we'll move on to topic number 2 and we'll try and trim it down and keep it lean. We're just talking a little bit of self-improvement. Are you guys doing anything? We talked about the physical stuff. We're kind of getting out walking more. Ben, you and I have always been into meditation and the Calm apps and things like that. Are you having any time to do any of that, or are all your minutes sucked out of your day as far as self-improvement.
Yeah, it's funny. We have less time than we did before, just because obviously because I thought, you know, like people without kids or kids are gone, what I think, you know, they have a lot more time. And then suddenly, obviously, parents, people with kids have less time. And that's a little surprising. That's pretty much obliterated. I had more of the meditation and the quiet time before. I think being strict with bedtime, saying, okay, mom and dad need time alone, or, you know, and being more strict with bedtime and just taking night walks. Definitely has all been compromised, that quiet time for me.
Well, I find that it is interesting because your time seems much more precious now. Mm-hmm. Like when the kids are down now, my wife and I won't just crash, rinse, and repeat. Like we make it a point to stay up and do something together, binge watch something, quietly read. By the way, have you done Tiger King?
Yeah, everybody did.
Ozark?
Nope. Stay away.
Nope. I don't watch TV.
Yeah, he's that guy. But anyway, so the rest of the world, Tiger King's pretty good. But
I am the Tiger King.
I am finding I'm extracting a lot of positive out of this stuff. And my wife and I taking daily walks. I really think that's going to continue long beyond this. I think that our family walks and gather, you know, there's a lot of interesting habits that are starting to build that I think will continue for the benefit of the family afterwards. There's a tremendously positive thing about teaching your kids at home right now. I'll send it to you guys later, but it's really cool if you think about, oddly, what you are learning as yourself as a person and what your kids are learning by this unique time of isolation and family isolation. So
I agree with what you're saying, MK, about the traditions. The nightly walks are huge. Exercising with my kids has been a lot of fun. Just healthy habits that may not have been there before are starting to kind of surface, and just having time with the family is huge. We were talking about earlier with the schedules and the running and the here and the there, just having that time together to be able to walk and talk and think and be more mindful. I'm looking forward to how the future is going to look as we do all these things together as a family, and how we will continue to do them, because we'll all look at this and say, wow, this was valuable time that we might not have gotten together had this not happened. So I don't know. I feel blessed, actually.
In that way, yeah, definitely.
I thought of a quote the other day when I was thinking about this very thing I forgot to mention earlier, and it's a little bit philosophical, but I have this book called One Man's Two Cents. I've been writing it for like 20 years, little quotes. And my biggest reflection on this so far is the worst thing that can come from struggle is that nothing would be learned. Do you know, like, I don't know. I think you're right. I mean, everybody, like, there's something teaching us something, and my, like, the biggest fault we would make is that we were just trying to get back to how it was. I mean, it wasn't so great before, really. I mean, maybe there's something to learn here. And so if we just are all anxious to get back to how it was, I mean, I think that'd be the biggest mistake we could make, instead of learning what we're meant to learn from it.
No, I concur and agree 100% with that assessment. I think that I almost, on the backside of this, when it's all clear, and it will be, I would like to keep the positivity that I'm extracting out of this moving versus going straight back in to the grind, to the financial, to the thing, because you're deprioritizing a lot of things as well, and prioritizing things, you know, that are obviously right in front of your face. So, all right, well, That was 3-2-1 go, and we always have different opinions, but that's what makes our show unique. We're not all drinking vanilla milkshakes. We're all speaking of milkshakes, the number 7 most Googled recipe.
Oh, yeah.
A great segue. Very timely. Carrot cake. Carrot cake during, yes, during self-containment.
Surprising.
Carrot cake. And number 6, chicken breast recipes. Chicken breast recipes. You know, Ben, I have 47 pounds of chicken breasts in my freezer ready to go in any minute. 200 pounds of Starbucks coffee and a bale of hay for my animals. But, you know, number 5, I don't know how to pronounce this, but I've seen this cup of coffee everywhere. The Dalgona coffee recipe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I think it's a Korean thing. It's like a whipped coffee.
This beautiful whipped coffee trend tastes as heavenly as it looks. And according to Today food editor Emmy Boskamp, who mixed up this cup, this viral recipe is surprisingly easy to make. On that note, I am enjoying having quiet coffee with my wife every morning before we start our school day. So that'll end up 3-2-1. We'll move on to the top 4 most Googled recipes. And coming up next, wait for it, wait for it, the parent quiz on Easter.
It's quiz time!
All right. Oddly enough, I think I may be repeating a quiz from last year, but we're going to roll the dice and see. This is our parent quiz. The prize is, it just looked oddly familiar when I was reading it today, for, of course, Southern Living Magazine, the greatest magazine about living in the South, the Low Country, the Smokies, the Atlanta area.
Adirondacks
are in North. But yeah, Southern Living, this is for you. All right. So,
sweet tea.
Why is Easter considered a movable feast? A, because people usually celebrate it with a buffet. B, because the date changes every year. Or C, because sometimes it's celebrated at your grandmom's and sometimes at your aunt's. A, B, or C?
B.
B.
B, because the date changes every year. All 3 answers in.
Yeah.
And that is correct, because the date changes every year.
Yes.
Which calendar?
That's the word movable.
Movable, yes. Not like a buffet. Which calendar do Orthodox Christians use to determine the date of their Easter celebration? Is it the Google calendar, the Julian calendar, or the Gregorian calendar?
Gregorian.
Chris?
Okay, I'll go with that, I guess.
I don't know why you did, because the answer is the Julian calendar.
Julius Caesar, as in Julius Caesar?
Orthodox Christians call it the Julian calendar, and their holiday usually takes place a week or two after most Western celebrations that follow the Gregorian calendar. Trick question. Chris should have gone with your gut, but you did not, and unfortunately, you all lose.
You're wrong.
All right, question number 3. What tasty treats do Easter and Passover have in common? Hard-boiled eggs, malted milk balls, or Peeps?
Ooh, I love Peeps.
I have many Jewish friends, and I know this one without even thinking.
I think it's
what was the first one?
Hard-boiled eggs, Peeps, or malted milk balls.
I'm going hard-boiled eggs.
Egg?
Yeah.
Yes, it is hard-boiled eggs.
The only non-ridiculous one. All right.
Though we maintain that Peeps are for everybody, Easter and Passover traditionally share the tasty treat of hard-boiled eggs. The egg symbolizes the rebirth in both Christianity and Judaism. In Christian tradition, people hunt and decorate hard-boiled eggs on Easter morning. Very, very interesting.
Well,
And you learn a little bit during our parents quiz every time. How many days does Lent last?
40.
How many days?
40.
40.
40.
42 or 30?
40.
30. I'm going to follow my 40. Gut and go against the herd.
40. The correct answer is 40. 40 days that lead up to Easter Sunday, which represent the 40 days that Jesus spent alone in the wild thinking about his ministry. Question number 5, however. What does Monday Thursday honor? Monday Thursday.
Monday Thursday, yeah.
Moon.
Monday. Is it the end of Holy Week, the end of Lent, or the Last Supper?
Last Supper.
Nope.
I say, what's the first one?
The end of Holy Week, the end of Lent, or the Last Supper?
The end of Lent. Holy Week. I'm going
end
with
of Lent. We all voted different. End of Lent. Yeah.
And the answer is the Last Supper.
Ah!
Oh,
boom! Oh, because he was crucified on Friday, so Thursday would be.
That's right, supper. Ben.
Yep.
All right, so the score is pretty close. I think Ben is in the lead currently.
Nope. I got one up.
Oh, interesting. Mark has been keeping score, and he is very aware that he is one up in the running. How many bunny rabbits and Easter eggs, how did they become part of this holiday? A.
Can I? Oh.
Yes?
Bonus for the answer.
All right, just tell us the answer.
A, because George Washington ate rabbits and eggs at his dinner. Hallmark cards started the tradition. Or bunnies are a symbol of fertility.
Bunnies are three, yeah. B. C.
Fertility. Mark said B. Mark said B.
Fertility. The answer is...
Fertility.
Bunnies are a symbol of fertility. Remember when the Easter Sunday date was based on the vernal equinox? Well, the vernal equinox is actually the first day of spring, which represents fertility and includes symbols like the eggs and quickly multiplying bunnies. Okay, this may be weighted, but I'm ready to roll the dice. Ben, which European people brought the legend of an egg-laying hare to the United States? Was it the French, the German, or the Swiss? French, German, or Swiss?
German, because Ishtar was a Bavarian god.
But,
Wow.
Speechless. Okay. Yeah.
Ishtar is the name, and so as the Christians went north, they encountered the pagan, and the pagans of Germania, the Bavarian, and that was Ishtar was a Bavarian god, so that's why I said German. But that's
Mark. Not, that's,
German is right.
Oh, he says it confidently now that Ben has given the liturgy on it.
No.
I'll say Swiss.
All right, you say Swiss. The correct answer is German. Here's the reasoning, however. The Germans are thought to be responsible for the American Easter Bunny tradition. Lore has it, in the 1700s, a group of German immigrants brought with them the story of Osterhase, an egg-laying hare. On Easter morning, their kids would make nests for the bunny to leave its egg in. Interesting.
All right.
And finally, at Christmas, some children leave out milk and cookies for Santa Claus. What do some people leave out for the Easter bunny? Carrots, jelly beans, hay, or dyed eggs?
Carrots.
What do children typically leave out for the Easter Bunny? Carrots, jelly beans, hay, or dyed eggs?
Jelly beans.
We did carrots. I don't know about y'all.
Carrots.
The correct answer here is carrots. Much like the Christmas tradition, some kids leave carrots for the Easter Bunny to help him refuel after hopping across the world in one day. And we all know that is not easy. All right, guys,
got them all wrong.
Parent quiz is on purpose. You tanked that one to give Ben a little, like, happiness in his life.
No, I was really trying. It's hard to take him serious, though, when he's got, like, Legos on his. What are you playing with Legos?
Oh, you saw that? These are Duplo, thank you.
So the winner of the quiz
Duplo
is...
around you?
Who won the quiz?
I did.
There you go.
Listen back. Okay.
All right. Southern Living's coming to your house, Mark. Enjoy that. Enjoy your reading. Enjoy your quiet time and your new weight set all at one time in your driveway while shirtless and listening to old Madonna songs.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right. It's time for smart articles by smart people. Hey, guys, guess who the smart person is?
Who?
It's me. I wrote an article, not an article, really like a little small blog post on 30 Seconds. Great website, great parenting website. The beat goes on, even a pandemic. Can you add to my family's music playlist? So every night in my house, about 5 to 6 while we're making dinner, and this is a new tradition that we didn't do before, we'll put on an album, a classic album. The kids can pick if they want, but I try to introduce them to as much of my music or Jen's music or my parents' music as possible. So I curated a list of 30 songs for the month of April. So some of my go-tos every time, and I want to hear yours. I'm just going to give you 3 of mine. I had U2, The Joshua Tree, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, and let's pull out one of my other favorites, My Little Boy Loves ELO. So we do ELO's greatest hits. So that's 3 out of my 30. What are 3 records that you want to impart on your kids if you only could impart 3? I know it's a lengthy list, as Ben and Mark are both working in music, and Chris sort of does too, but what are 3 of your favorites that you would add to my list?
Oh my gosh, I got to go to my vinyl real quick. Yeah, I don't want to answer this one.
So meanwhile, while our listeners drive across the country to Kansas, Ben will look to his vinyl. Mark, you read your show prep, so I knew you know this is coming.
Yeah, I would go with Swerve Driver Raze. I love their entire discography, but if I had to pick one of theirs, I'd pick Raze. I would probably go with Led Zeppelin Houses of the Holy.
Yeah.
That's another really just spectacular album. And I don't know. I guess I'll go with Michael Jackson Off the Wall just to mix it up a little.
Not Thriller.
I'm an off the wall kind of guy.
Interesting.
As you know.
Yes, as I know. Chris?
I don't know. I kind of like the Pulp Fiction soundtrack, which is just a bunch of the 70s like cuts, like the Lime and the Coconut.
Yeah.
I got like Johnny Cash rolling with like Ring of Fire, and then I've been rocking Men at Work, Business as Usual.
Ooh, nice. Colin Hay. Yeah.
Love
Colin
it.
Hay. Colin
be good,
Hay.
Be good.
Colin Hay's acoustic stuff is phenomenal.
Oh, it's really good. I concur.
Me? Okay. It's a little bit big for me, like the question in general, but I'm going to definitely go like
Wolf
just
Hunt?
From a spiritual sonic, yeah, my own album, which is, I'm starting to hate my own music because the F word every time we're in the car. But anything Cigarose, like just as far as like a sound journey.
I love
Cigarose. Yeah, they don't. They're
amazing.
They're free of song form, and they're just like they're the best. Like Jonesy is one of the best music makers in the world. Without worrying about anything else, he just makes music without worrying about anything. So we put on a lot of Cigarose here. I think just from a rock and roll standpoint, I gotta say I'll put on Bruce. At least once a week. Just so they get that, indoctrination of Americana.
Which one? I would do The River.
Well, I mean, I take it back. I can't answer that question.
All right, it's a longer tale, so get your next 2.
Yeah. I already said 2. And then, I guess I feel obligated to be a little bit more non-contemporary with this answer, right? Just going back to Emmy Lou. I would love Emmy Lou. Red Dirt Girl is probably my favorite Emmy Lou album. She's a godmother, so love her.
I love it.
But Led Zeppelin's my favorite band ever. So I also, that's kind of also just a given.
Well, what I find funny too, even though the kids are into this and that, good music is good music. And it doesn't
it's the
have
stuff
to,
that survives.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I could plug in the Best of Bread and my kids would love that as much as Bob Marley, as much as Ariana Grande, mm-hmm. as much as Taylor Swift. So,
and we're yet to see what survives our generation. So we just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But it has been enjoyable reaching back a little bit and pulling out some of the stuff that I remembered on 8-track, that I remembered on cassette, buying at, you know, the record store, stuff like that. But all right, so that was your smart article by an incredibly smart person. Find that one. Yay! On 30seconds.com.
Okay, you deserve it, MK. You deserve it.
All right, thank you. All right, guys, great show. Thanks for your candor, your insight, your realness. I mean, it's not an easy episode to do because we tried to start where we weren't going to talk about the headlines, but inevitably we're all involved like everybody else in the world is. So thank you for all of your time today. As I know, especially as we have our minutes allocated each and every day now per section. I did want to thank you to all the truck drivers out there. Thank you to the childcare providers. Thank you to kind neighbors. Thank you to teachers. Thank you to mail carriers, grocery store employees, pharmacy technicians, first responders, and especially medical professionals. Thank you all. Anybody on the front lines that's helping out, driving a community, or doing their part. You are our heroes right now, and we appreciate you being out there. So, anything else to add, guys, or are you ready to create some dinner? I see Mark's getting some video bombs in his shot. I know Ben's playing with his hair, so that usually means it's time to go. But thank you, guys. Thank you for continuing this on, and we'll all march it forward the best we can.
Thanks. Sounds good.
Yeah,
be safe, everybody.
All right, guys, stay safe, and we'll chat offline and online. We'll get together in a little bit. And then just a reminder, everybody, we're going to have our first Dad Timeout Light interview coming up with Brock Lusch, and that'll be a lot of fun. We're going to be interviewing at the Nomad Dad. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Friday. Have a very happy Easter. I'll probably get this up around June, but we talked about Easter. But cheers, man. Love you guys. Peace out.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Timeout Show. And we're out of here.